Welcome back, everyone, to the Language of Behavior podcast. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I am glad to be home after a long trip from up north in Canada. And man, Charlie, I missed you.
I know. I missed you. We didn't even talk at all. That was really tough. But I saw the pictures. Y'all, if you have not been on Facebook to check out Joshua Stamper's pictures with his family in Canada, you've got to get there. It's really beautiful.
It was crazy. So my wonderful co-host, Charlie Peck, is back for episode 31. And yeah, it was insane. It was really, really busy. We were gone for like 10 days. It felt longer than that. And yeah, we just saw a lot of gorgeous areas. For my educators up in Canada, you're lucky. You have a beautiful country. And we were just so happy to be up there and to get a little bit of a break. Charlie, what were you up for those 10 days since we didn't get to see each other?
I was crying, Josh. I was crying. No, I I was throwing myself into my work with clients as a therapist. So
yes,
doing a lot of training. So it was a good use of time.
Sure. In preparation for the upcoming school year, which probably is a good segue to our question, because for those who don't know, and maybe this is the first time that you're listening, because I've seen a lot of growth here in the last month here of new listeners. So we get questions from our audience. And so we really want to, you know, have this podcast as something that's a useful resource for you to hopefully start off the new year for us in summer. And so this one actually, Charlie, is from an administrator who sent this in. It says, as an admin, we are planning right now for the next school year. How do we overcome some of the pushback from the state, district, or our political state where we are trying to accomplish our campus goal? And I think that's a really, really interesting question. It's a big question, obviously, because as we know, there's kind of a lot of chaotic things that are going on in the educational landscape. So when you hear that, Charlie, what are some of your first thoughts?
Well, funding always comes down to it. And that's the one thing I always hear is like, wow, I really want to work with you, but funding is tough. Especially now we have a different political climate going on. There's a lot up in the air. So I think people have kind of a nervousness of how to spend their funding. But listen, it's an important question. And I always say, listen, there are ways to get the work done that you want. But sometimes we have to do some digging, especially if there's a lot of changes. But I don't know, like, you're the administrator. I'm always very, very open about this. I'm always like, let's talk about your funding, because you can't do the work you want to do unless you know what you have to spend and how you can get that. And I've heard a lot of people say there are ways to really find the funding if you want it, but there's just so many things you have to do. So I want to hear from you about that.
Yeah, I think for sure it's one of those things that can be extremely frustrating, because like the question is pertaining to, as far as like, yeah, you get your campus budget from your district. And then of course, there's some certain things that the district will hold funds for that you have to get approval for. And so they may kick in something in regards to what the initiative might be. And if it falls in line with the district initiatives or district goals that they have put in place. And then of course, there's, you know, things that you can try to get as far as money elsewhere. There's a lot of different funds and grants out there. But even the grant system, you know, there was a holdup. And I think a lot of people are still struggling with that, where, you know, they're still waiting on an answer from these entities that, you know, can't push out funds yet because they're waiting for, you know, the federal piece to get put in place. So I know there's a lot of like frustration from administrators that I've talked to just within the last 6 months here, where they've submitted things and they're still waiting on a response to say, do I even get those funds for the upcoming year? So I know there's a lot of angst too about that. So yeah, I think people are trying to be strategic because there's things that they believe in, right? Because our teachers are either burnt out, exhausted, frustrated. Student behavior is something that Charlie and I continue to hear from folks that, you know, what we were doing before just isn't working. We need to shift our mindset. And I think our administrators are starting to hear that more and understand that there's needs to be something done. And now they're like, what's the next steps? How do I either get someone to help out or get funding for something? So I think that's kind of the landscape that I'm hearing.
Yeah. And I always hear too about like the way we can kind of mitigate this is people like us, we can address certain issues, like several issues, I should say, with our approach. So it might be behavior prevention or intervention. It might be classroom management. It might be mental health. I mean, people associate me with mental health a lot, and they should, because that's the work I do. But it also has a trickle-down effect. We can actually help target certain behaviors that are going on with students, like avoidance, anxiety, attendance issues, elopement, I mean, anger outbursts, things that are disrupting the classroom. So we can address that. So there's different fundings for different things like that. And if it always comes out of student behavioral needs or student learning outcomes, there's funding to find to support student achievement. And we all know that there's a lot of data to show that if you meet those underlying needs, that they're certainly going to show up to the classroom a lot better as a learner. And so there's that. Also, I always say this too, let's try piloting a project for you and gather that data for you to show the need, show the data, and let's outline that for you and have a smaller investment at the beginning so that we can build over time. And the other thing is, I always say this too, Josh, people just need to tell us what their funding amount is, like I said before, so that we can work within that funding. I mean, there's always like the different levels of support we can give, but we're people like us who are working in this industry, we're trying to help any way we can. And we understand that there can be limitations, but we try to do some kind of work. And they can always start with a book study. I mean, have people buy their own book, which is what, $20? That's very little investment. But then having a book study where they can come together and bring their staff together and have that free book study kit. So that's a very small investment. Or if the leadership team wants to provide the books, we get a discount through Connected Ed, our publisher. So there's ways around it to get the work done, at least just to get it started.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's creative ways. I mean, and some administrators might scoff at that, but there are creative ways that, you know, your PTAs and other parents' initiatives that, you know, might be able to fund that. I know we had certain things come from that specifically, as far as we had a book study where the parents actually bought it for our staff to be able to work through that. Also, there were a lot of companies in the area too that we tapped into that were like, hey, you know, instead of just asking for provide breakfast for our PD, it's actually like, do you mind, you know, writing a check for whatever amount that you're comfortable with so that we can bring someone in, you know, to speak on this topic. So, you know, we were able to find funding outside of the district if the district said no, which a lot of times they did. Or like you said, you know, do it in baby steps. You know, what is it that we have the budget for right now? And what can we put aside over years to then eventually get to what our goal was, right? Was to either get someone to speak or to partner with them for a long-term contract, either 1 to 3 years. So that way we had something in place, but it was something that we kind of had a vision of, and then we had to, you know, kind of plan it out kind of a long span of time to make that occur by having these creative connections, either with our parents, with our community members, with the district, with grants. I mean, there's a lot of other ways that we could funnel money into the school to make it happen for us.
Yeah. And that kind of leads to the next piece too, of there could be a data gap or misuse of data or just having data and not using it at all. And so that can guide what you actually do with that funding or just guide you to meeting an initiative and just looking at like, what's the biggest gap? How do we address this? And kind of start with a baseline there and just like a snapshot.
So they put in political climate. I didn't really, I mean, I guess in Texas, I shouldn't say that. In Texas, there were certain initiatives and words and things that were harder to get funding for with the school district. And so we did have to play that game a little bit. I feel like right now, though, probably more than ever, we're hearing that from our educators. What comes to mind with that part specifically, Charlie?
Yeah, definitely. And this has been a problem. It doesn't matter who is in power. I always have this problem. Some people roll their eyes at trauma because there's some buzzwords, right? Like trauma, equity and inclusion and different things. And I always say this, sometimes it depends on the state that I go to of what I can share. And so, or SEL, like the social emotional learning, some people don't like to hear that, or they just can't use that language, which is fine. Listen, we can't politicize these things because they're going to be there regardless. So I just talk about it in terms of stress. How is stress showing up in the body? Nobody can argue that. Everybody deals with stress and it shows up in the way that we all behave or not, like engaging. And so I just kind of step around it like that. So I kind of neutralize the language, but not the mission of it. So I just kind of frame the initiative based on what their need is. And it always works because, again, it goes back to the human, like developing a plan for the human and building up and equipping humans with skills and strategies that are going to just help them navigate their world better in their profession. So I just neutralize the language.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, providing data, I used to say this to my staff, is like, data is unemotional. It is what it is. So let's look at the numbers. And I mean, student behavior, referrals, whatever data you're using to model. I mean, obviously that's going to show up that there is a need there. So let's get to the underlying issues and how are we going to address it? So obviously the problems are there. We can't ignore it. So what are we going to do about it? So as far as the language goes and what terms, you know, just obviously stay away from whatever is faux pas for your district, your state, and of course, trying to find what's best for your students and where they're at right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, we could also just ask students what they need and want. And if they give a voice and they show that there's value to the initiative or a new initiative, I mean, we can lean on that too.
For sure. Well, I'm going to use this example. I had an administrator talk about 4-day weeks for the school year. So obviously that's not normal. It's something that they were very scared as a district to even put out to like parents and to students.
Yeah.
They did a parent survey and they got a huge response back, more so than they anticipated. It was like overwhelming yes, that they wanted the 4-day week, which they were shocked about because, I mean, obviously it was due to funding and some other things too, including mental health for teachers. It was going to give a chance for the teachers to like be able to plan during that time, that extra day, even though the staff was working 5 days a week, but the students were only going to be on campus for 4 days a week. But the biggest fear was like, you know, this is a solution that hits a lot of different things, but we don't know what the response is going to be. And thankfully they asked their community, they asked their stakeholders, like, what do you want? And it was the complete opposite of what they would have assumed otherwise. Thankfully they, you know, they're doing it. They're moving to a 4-day week. So all that being said is like, sometimes, although it may feel scary, it is the best thing to do is just ask, just ask what they need, what they want. And you may be surprised by the result.
Yeah, absolutely. And anything like any new information just informs the next move regardless. Mm-hmm. So it's great. For sure. Okay. What about this? What about when you don't have staff buy-in or engagement?
That's always a big hurdle to cross. Honestly, with student behavior, I think that's normal. I think that's something that we wrote about in our book, The Language of Behavior too. And one of the reasons that we do the relationship action team, you know, and we've talked about it a few times on this podcast, but I think it's one of those things that a lot of folks have many, many experiences, both as a student and as an educator, that fortunately is something that gets in the way of moving forward with new ideas and solutions. I think also some biases too, that have been established over time from maybe even the environment that they're in. I think the longer you're on a campus and the people that you're around, I think that shapes your views as far as how students are interacting with you. And I think too, it kind of jades you. I think when you first come in as an educator, as a teacher, as an administrator, you have a pretty healthy outlook about like what you're going to do, your place in the school, how you're going to affect the students' lives. And then over time, I know I even felt this as administrators, you just get beaten down. It's the same thing over and over. And I always laugh, like with my admin team, sometimes it just felt like Groundhog's Day. Like I knew I was going to walk in, I was going to get a call from the bus, I was going to get referrals sitting there, I was going to have upset parents in the office, you know, and it's just like one of those things, the line of teachers outside my door before I even entered, like it was just one of those things that it was just like the same thing over and over and over. And for that, I think you sometimes sit in it and wallow in it instead of actually having that same outlook as you first did. And so I think some of those things have to be established as a team as far as like what's healthy, but then also like similar to what we talked about with the relationship action team is like, once you enter the door, your mindset needs to shift. It needs to change. And so I do need to be open-minded and then try new things. I need to leave, you know, anything at the door. So that way it's not creating this negative perception of just life in general or the school environment, students and how they're acting. So I'm not labeling before I even start my day off. And I know this is really hard to do, but I really do think it starts with the mind shift, but then also like having support because we can't do this work alone. I think when you're in that negative perception or this mindset, I think you're going to need other people around you to kind of pull you out of that.
Yeah. But that's why the teams are so good. And so that would be something I say is involve staff early on and establish like a planning team so that you can at least hear their voice and what they need, because if they're going to buy into anything, it's got to be something that's going to directly support their work. So if I know that I'm going to have a student who's going to be late a lot and how can I address that issue? Or if a student doesn't hand in their work, or if a student challenges me, like I need to know that I can say this is a problem and I need a plan for when that happens. So I'm going to have buy-in when it solves a problem that I consistently have over over time. And if I get to kind of get involved in that and say, this is the problem and have my voice. And then like, that's what you and I do when we work with our teams over time, we let them inform what the problem is. I mean, I used to say a prescribed kind of solution, I have it for you without even talking to them. And that didn't work. And so we've adjusted to customize everything we do. We do have some frameworks that we work from, but ultimately is what is the need? What's going on with this group right now? Let's work in a cohort. We're going to support your team. And you and I even go kind of the whole year route, which I love. And when we go in and do observations and give feedback, that's where it's really helpful. But not everybody has the funding to do that. So we can just start early, see what the need is, and just do one session to at least help with strategies for that particular problem. But I see that that works really well.
Yeah, because every teacher is different. I mean, even like year to year, each student group is different as far as the needs. So yeah, I love the customization piece of that. But then also like individually too, teachers obviously have different strengths and things to work with that we can highlight and give them hope. That's the biggest thing. Sometimes there's just this cloud of despair, and to be able to see, you know, with this assistance to pull them up and say, oh, you know, I do have new strategies that are working. It changes their whole outlook on the relationship with their students and just like success of the whole year. So that's exciting. That's why we do the work that we do and why we love it so much. And so, yeah, super excited about this upcoming school year. If you're in the same boat, you're a leader and this question resonated with you as you're planning for the upcoming school year, of course, Charlie and I are here for you. Before I dive into websites and how people can connect with us, Charlie, I don't know if you remember, but we had a new segment, Behind the Banter.
Right. I forgot about that. I did forget. All right, bring it on.
So I want to do that real quick. For those who are listening, I surprised Charlie last episode with a new segment where we're going to get to know a little bit about us as people, as educators, this little fun bit that we're going to do at the end of each episode. As long as Charlie allows me to push the button and do this segment, we'll continue it. All right, Charlie, I've got a question for you. For Behind the Banter, if you had to teach a subject totally outside of your expertise for a day, what would you pick and why?
Science, because I love the biology of what's going on with behavior. I would teach science.
All right. Have you ever taught science?
No. But I do a lot of behavioral science stuff. So like in epigenetics and the brain.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't know if anyone like actually tapped you on the shoulder and was like, we're short a sub today.
No.
Get in here, Charlie.
only when I had to cover a class, but come on, there's no teaching going on there. There's just, here's the sheet to work on.
Well, as an admin, I covered many, many classes. I was an art teacher for those that didn't know. So in the elective space, I always enjoyed going into those environments, but technology specifically, because I'm a tech nerd. I still do graphic design and obviously the podcasting stuff I enjoy. So that's where I was the most comfortable. But I taught, and I say that very loosely, a lot of classes, specifically, Charlie, when we did our push-ins. So, you know, for that strategy in the book, they would call the front office and ask for a push-in, and I would go and cover a class for 5 or 10 minutes. And it was always fun to go see and what amazing stuff was happening in the classroom, and was amazed by the talent that these other teachers had that I did not possess in that specific subject. So that was always fun to go in and get a chance to like talk to the students about what they were doing and get to see what's occurring as far as learning. So, All right.
Love it.
For those who are watching, I'm going to post the links for our websites. So Charlie's is thrivingeducator.org. So make sure that you're heading over there. For both of our websites, of course, we've got a lot of free resources for you and other things that will help you in your educational and leadership journey. Mine is joshsamber.com/language of behavior. Of course, we've got on our websites too, our book study kit. We've got links to the book. We've got the bulk order link that we had mentioned earlier for those who are doing book studies. I know two colleges are starting to, we talked about that before, using our book for, you know, teacher preparation courses. So if you're an educator in the college scene, that is something that other folks are using too. So we're super excited about that and kind of the movement, Charlie, that's occurring across the country in regards to the language of behavior as we're starting the brand new school year.
So excited. There's a lot going on. I'd love to be a part of it.
Definitely. All right. Any last words for episode 31?
Yes. When we talk about staff engagement and getting buy-in, we have to make sure they know it's not one extra thing to do. They've got to be strategies that integrate into everyday practice. That's why we do the approach that we do.
Love it. All right. If you have a question for future episodes, we have a bit.ly/LOB questions link that will be in the show notes for you. Keep sending questions. We love answering it, knowing what's going on your campus and your district. And of course, if you need any supports, like I said before, please reach out to Charlie or I. We are definitely in the planning stages for the upcoming school year, and we are working hard to make sure that we are here for you and to help you in whatever needs you have for the upcoming school year. So with that, I hope you have an awesome week. And Charlie, can't wait to record again with you here soon.
Yep, looking forward to it. Bye, everybody.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.